Roll the tape.
This podcast is protected by copyright and not for broadcast. See rsn.net.au for more details.
The Purcell pair on the outside, Despicable Todd on the inside. I've got Class clear of work. It's Despicable Todd just doing enough to win. Got there by a neck over I've got Class and work it.
Now on TAS Racing Talk, time to talk greyhounds.
Well, we've just seen a wonderful Group 2 Launceston Cup with a tremendous win to Brad Hillbilly, trained by Alan Clark, and the man who was thrilled to have a runner in the final joins us today. How are you, Greg?
I'm very good, Shane.
So the Greg and Gary Fay runner, breaker's tip, led down the back, looked a huge chance at that point of the race, and Renner finished up running a gallant second.
He certainly did. We'll start with a winner, though, Brad Hillbilly. I mean, it's a Group 2, the only Group 2 race in Tasmania. Trained by Alan Clark, who's known what a good dog's look like, having trained Lee Rise, which I don't know how many races he won, but it was lots, and the great Black Caleb, which won a Hobart 1000. Brad Hillbilly, youngest dog in the race, 25 months of age. Very unlucky in his semi-final, and then box one turned out to be perfect in the final. He burrowed up, and the first clever thing he did was to hold Ride the Rails and Waymore Blues off the fence. And then Breaker's Tip, as you said, jumped in front, ran the fastest first split probably for 2 years, 4.97. He broke the record split down the back and ran 17.38. But the four lengths he was in front there was not quite enough on the line. Brad Hillbilly got him close to the post, three quarters of a length. But their massive merit was the fact that the two Tassie-bred dogs finished three and three-quarter lengths in front of Waymore Blues and another length away to Ride the Rails. And both of those dogs will contest a Group 1 race in Melbourne next week. So the cousins, Brad Hillbilly and Breaker's Tip, did the job for Tassie.
And it wasn't as if they ran a race right out of their skin or right out of their box, because they ran exactly the same through the heats and the semi-finals, particularly the winner.
They did. Look, Brad Hillbilly ran 29.46 to win the final. Breaker's Tip ran 29.50 getting beaten. And the last couple of weeks, they've both run in the 29.60s. So just the natural progression. They kept improving and they proved too good for the Victorians. Simple as that.
Yeah, great performance all around. Now, we had, of course, the Launceston Cup dinner and the awards night on Saturday night for the 2014 Greyhound of the Year and Associated Awards. And first of all, Greyhound of the Year, not surprisingly, went to Buckle Up Wes.
Ah, look, it was a one-dog contest, as it turned out. As a matter of fact, it was a one-dog contest because the panel didn't even vote 3-2-1. It was just assessed as he was so far ahead of whatever would have been next best. He was appointed. He was a dual Group 1 winner and a triple Group 1 place getter in the year, which was quite amazing. And yes, he was a standout. Would have won it in nearly any year.
And there was another award, of course, for the most consistent greyhound.
Yeah, and that was pretty obvious too, really, with Senior Slammer. He had a wonderful year. He won 19 races in the calendar year, and he would have been a runaway winner of the most consistent dog.
Anthony Bullock awarded the best trainer, the leading trainer award, again.
Yeah, I think that's, what, six out of the last 7 years? I think it is, Anthony. And there was some conjecture over the point system, which I thought was a very poor system. I think it always should go on number of winners, as it is in most premierships. And when it was changed, Anthony still won it. So all the merit to Anthony. Probably has more runners and supports more races than any other trainer here.
And certainly shared the accolades with his big team that he's got working for him around the state as far as helpers go. So that was great to see as well. And the leading owner, Debbie Cannon.
Yes, Debbie, a great association with Ted Medhurst, and they had a number of class runners during the year, none less than Dark Vito, which won the Devonport Cup. And again, she was a runaway winner in the leading owner award.
Well, it was a super night of racing on Monday night. We had Tama Lass, who's really created a big impression at its last two starts, backed into favouritism, and it led all the way.
Yes, my word. I think Eileen Thomas would be very, very happy to have Tama Lass in the kennel. She first run for her was at Devonport last week and won in quick time, 25.64, and then goes to Launceston and runs 29.94. I reckon she'd like to fill up the kennel with more dogs like her.
Yeah, I'm sure she would. In the second race, it was Honest to Rod, who's got a tremendous record on the track. Didn't realise until it crossed the line just how good his record was.
That's right. I think that was his fourth win from limited starts over the 278. he not only gained a run as a reserve, but he paid pretty big odds. He was $12.40, but way better than that was available in other areas. Look, they're jump and run, hit and miss races. If you lead, you're in with a show. But he didn't jump straight to the front. That was Nui's lad, as usual. But he soon dragged him off, and look, he left a pretty good 278 metre field in his wake.
He certainly did, won very impressively. Then the third race, all the money was for the Red Runner. How's that, Patsy?
So it should have been, and so it turned out to be correct decision. That gave Anthony a race-to-race double. Anthony Bullock, how's that, Patsy, is one of the quickest beginners of the young brigade going around at the moment. And when you jump in front like she does and run 29.96 in low grade, you're going to win more than you're going to be beaten.
Former Australian skipper Ricky Ponting had two runners go around in race number four. It was the outsider of the two that got the chocolates.
Yeah, I hope he backed it because it was massive odds, wasn't it? It paid $57.90 on tats, which, look, on paper it didn't look like a big winning chance, but that was still probably over the odds because it showed a lot of pace in its heat. But there was a big prang on the first turn where both of the favourites, and which were the Medhurst pair, Miss Pisces and Outskirts, were completely garrotted, along with a couple of others, and Priority Punter zipped through after an average start and set up a big break. And I don't think that'll be his last win. I reckon he's just coming good, that dog.
Well, we talked about the performance of Posh Renee last week, standing up the leaders 2 to 3 lengths down to the corner and winning by 7, charging away from the field. Step out over the 600 and really show that that's going to be her liking, if not longer.
I think she's a quality dog. Anthony Bullock gave him 3 winners out of the first 5 races. She's out of a bitch called Posh Dye, which was one of my all-time favourites. You might remember she was a permanent black booker when she was racing.
She was.
And that meant that the punters collected 29 times because that's how many races she won. Posh Renee is racing like her dam because dam won out to 700 metres. This bitch from limited starts has now won up to 600 metres. And as you said, the way she put her foot to the pedal the last 200 metres, she looks a natural-born stayer.
Well, it turned out to be a tremendous forerunner for Alan Clark when he took out the final of the Cup with Brad Hill-Billy as the owner of Posh Renee. And then we had Kinloch Angel, who's been going pretty strongly, very consistently, win race number 7.
Yeah, racing really well for Susan Giddes. She's got a couple of nice dogs at the moment, Pelican Keeping and Kinloch Angel, 2 of them. Kinloch Angel jumped in front, led every step of the way, and that was her second win at Launceston recently, and the 29.88 was clearly a personal best.
Star Chamber, it was put up at short odds. You always had the feeling that it was going to be back in the field and then be needing to run on strongly, but gee, it led around the first corner.
Yeah, he's not going to do that very often because he's a dreadful beginner. Funnily enough, Launceston is the track that I think he goes clearly best on, and he keeps up best on early. Even though he misses it, he zooms up there pretty quickly. But you're always taking your heart and your mouth on the first turn with Star Chamber. He did it all right this week. He ran 29.64. I reckon if Ted Medhurst can turn him into a good beginner, which he won't, he'd be in the top 4 or 5 dogs in his kennel, which is a pretty big accolade.
Yeah, you wouldn't mind being fourth in that lot, that's for sure. Then in race number 9, Simpsons Bay, a courageous win off the red.
Very much so, and gave Anthony Bullock 4 winners for the night. He is a really consistent little dog, Simpsons Bay, as are several of the others in this litter, Raz Simpson, Half Century, and May Vista Falls. Just a good, you know, workable litter. He was challenged all the way by Pasha Queen, held her off to win. The odds-on favourite, Mandy Charm, who's a bit of a sook in the field, good bitch, but it ended up giving them too much start. But, yeah, good little performer, Simpsons Bay.
Well, if Simpsons Bay was courageous, how would you describe the win of Elite Enfield in the last for Graham Barber?
Fabulous run, wasn't it? And he had to hold off the more talented brother of Simpsons Bay in Half Century. He worked his backside off, didn't he, to get across Senor Scooby. And then no sooner did he get across him, and it took him 250 metres to do that, Half Century loomed, looked like he might run him down, but he's a very, very good chaser, Elite Enfield. Half Century's a quality dog in the making as well. Some of the margins in the papers over the last couple of weeks on Greyhound Racing 2 has been nothing short of disgraceful. I think they all should take a look at themselves. They aren't putting the unplaced runners in, and some of the margins are absurd. He didn't beat Half Century by too much, but he was a very good run.
Certainly was. Speaking of good runs, have you got a black booker for us?
Well, we'll go from Launceston on Monday night, a dog of Ted Medhurst that chased home Tama Lass, T-Mac. Now, he has won a race, but he had a bit of a break, and that was only his second run back, and he really stuck to his guns well. I think we can follow him.
OK, T-Mac, the greyhound to follow from the Greg Fay Black Book. We'll grab another one off you next week, Greg.
Thanks, Shane.
Taz Racing Talk. Everything you need to get the edge.
Well, what a week we've got coming up in greyhound racing. We've got four meetings to look at today, with the double header coming up in Hobart on Monday night with harness racing and greyhounds, and the transferred meeting from Devonport from Tuesday to Friday night to find all the winners for. And the man that's going to do that is Rick Puccinelli. How are you, Rick?
I'm asleep, Shane. I've slept through the week and I've missed all the meetings.
Well, it's going to be a top week, that's for sure. What do you think about the run of Brad Hill, Billy, and Breaker's Tip on Monday night in the Cup?
Shane, down the back, I thought I had the money. They bet $6.50 fixed odds on Breaker's Tip, and I had something on it. And I said to a mate of mine that was watching the races with us, I said, we're home, and to run 29.46 and to run down Breaker's Tip with the lead that it run and run 17.38 to the back, full credit to Alan Clark. He's a great dog. I thought he was probably fourth pick in the race. Look, he went sensationally, and the time says it all. He's an outstanding pup.
And his run was exactly the same as his heat and semi-final performance.
Yes, Shane, he keeps coming, you know. But as I said, I thought in the run, Breaker's Tip had enough lead to win. But to Brad Hill Billy's credit, he just, you know, dug deep, and he's a very promising dog.
And the money stayed in Tassie, which was the important thing. Now, we've got the Hobart meeting coming up, first of all, to look at. What about the first league?
Shane, the first league, I went with number two when I flicked the page, Morabella. I just think there's a chance that she might spear to the lead. There's an early scratching in number five, Wild Intention. So I thought number two might spear to the lead and have some chance. I put in number seven, Bemo. He's always thereabouts. He's got a good chance. I put in number six, Ruby Bailey. She'll be thereabouts also. She always runs an honest race. And the drawn dog's number one, Crimson Lee. Now, I see he done a satisfactory trial and he recorded 25.81 at Devonport. 25.81's pretty fair time coming into a grade five in Hobart. 2.76.1.
In the second leg, Bold Intention looks hard to be drawn out wide.
Shane, he was super impressive last week. He stopped the clock at 26.17, ran very, very quick splits, and I can't see why he won't win again. There is another early scratching if the people want their pens ready. Hancos is an early scratching. By all reports, he broke down in a trial. Put in one Buller Country in for second, two Year Right, and three Revelation. I do think the winner will come out of those four, Shane. 7, 1, 2, and 3.
Leg number three looks a tricky one.
Found it hard, Shane. Look, my on-top picks are an early scratching. Brother Jake, number eight, I thought he was probably near a good thing on the program drawn out wide, but he scratched. So we've gone with number two, Petrie. Now, his last three runs have been quite good. He hasn't raced for 6 weeks. Lee Woods has got a very uncanny knack of producing with good odds and winning, and I thought he had a chance. Washington's always thereabouts. He's been placed two from two. I thought his run Monday night was good. He's got a good chance. Six, Delaract. She begins good, and then she's got no speed. I think she's got some chance. And I think Diamond Jack, just looking, even though he's two runs at Launceston in Tasmania, Rita, sixth and an eighth, he has got a bit of speed, and box seven won't be a hindrance. 2, 3, 6, and 7.
And then in the last leg, Reddington back to the U-turn.
Yeah, Shane, he took a nasty fall at his last appearance, Reddington, when he was in Hobart. But look, he's class above him. He only needs ordinary luck early and he'll win. One, Dawn's Best, has got good early speed and will be up there for a long way. Six, Simpsons Bay, is going very well. And Night Cooper's got good early speed. 4, 1, 6, and 7.
The quaddy for the first Hobart meeting of the week on Thursday night in the first leg, 2.76.1. In the second at 7.123. In the third leg, we're going 2.367. And then in the last, 4.167. Where's your best for Hobart?
Shane, after we get the quaddy, we go to race 9, number 7, Pagan Midnight. Now, the money trail last week was nothing short of enormous. He ran third to Bold Intention. I think that's very good form going into a maiden. Race 9, number 7, Pagan Midnight, I think will just win.
Pagan Midnight, the best for Hobart. Devonport on Friday in the Twilight Zone. The meeting transferred from Tuesday with all the camper homes at the Devonport Showground. So we've got the first leg. Tricky Kid looks a good chance from an inside draw.
Yeah, Shane, he's got a very good chance. I went with the dog that was the last start winner in Hobart in Annie's Song. She zoomed to the lead. She stopped the clock at 26.28. I think she's drawn very well. I think she's the Duck Grey underbeat. Two Tricky Kids got to be second pick. I put in number three, Red Oak, as third pick, and I put in number four, Tango and Cash, as fourth pick. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Well, we were just talking about Brad Hill Billy. He goes around in the second leg.
Shane, look, he's going to go around, because he won the Launceston Cup, he's going to go around about $1.40 favourite in this race. Now, don't get me wrong, I think he's the dog to beat. My little concern is that he might get crossed at the start with Lake Aelia, a very, very good beginner in box six. So he just might get crossed early. But look, you've got to put him on top. 5 on top, Brad Hill Billy. 3 Elite Enfields going very, very good. 8 Senor Scooby will appreciate box 8. And 6 Lake Aelia. If the winner doesn't come out of those 4 tips, I'll have to stop doing form for a while.
Well, don't do that. We need you. The third leg, Senor Slammer, picking up the most consistent Greyhound of the Year award on Saturday night in Launceston. He fronts up in the third leg.
Yeah, Shane, and you can't oppose him. I think there's a good chance that he might spear to the lead. There is an early scratching here in Sing the Song. It got vetted and got 5 days out of the Launceston Cup, so she won't go round. 3 on top. 1 Golden Sage got a good draw. 2 Quick Advance goes good at Devonport. And 8 Nui's Lad. 3, 1, 2, and 8.
And another Launceston Cup finalist is in the last leg. Mini Mogul drawn the red.
Yeah, Shane, look, just doing some form during the week. I can't find a lot of speed in the race. I think her and a dog called Noble Magic will be zooming to the lead. And for that reason, I went 1 Mini Mogul to beat 8 Noble Magic. 6 Princess Zara is very, very strong and has got a chance. And the ground that's having no luck with the box draws, number 7, Winkley Vesty. 1, 8, 6, and 7.
Rick's Quaddy for Devonport on Friday. Take note. In the first leg, 1, 2, 3, 4. Second leg, 5, 3, 8, 6. 3, 1, 2, 8 in the third leg. And in the last, it's 1, 8, 6, and 7. What about a best for Devonport?
Race 11, number 5, Immoral Dream, Chain. Look, the bitch is going very, very good. Got beat by a very, very good dog in Hobart at its last start. Race 11, number 5, will just win.
You'll be a busy boy in Hobart on Monday night with both harness racing and greyhound racing to worry about. First leg of the Quaddy and the greyhound racing card is race number 5, and I've got class has drawn the pink.
Yeah, and she has got a bit of class on her side too, Shane. I think she's clearly the greyhound to beat. Number 6, Rivulet's my second pick. Now, a dog that's having its first Tassie start and been racing in Melbourne called Arctica. It's had 37 starts for 5 wins and 11 placings, but when I looked up its form on the internet, it's won $18,615 in stakes. So somewhere along the lines, it's won a race that actually must have been worth a bit of money. Look, I'd show a bit of respect for number 2, and I put in number 7, Thermal Expanse. 8, 6, 2, and 7.
It's a good field, the second leg.
Shane, this is a very, very good leg. Star Chamber couldn't have been more impressive than what it was on Monday night at Launceston. It stopped the clock in 29.64. And look, when it went out the straight the first time, you said the even money was good odds. Well, the TAB taxes come into play after that, because it paid $1.80, $1.50, and $1.80, and it duly won easy. Got to put it on top. I put in 6 Mandy Charm. It's kennel mate. I think it's got a good chance. It's got good early speed and it'll be up there. Look, I'm a fan of number 2 Carra. As you're probably well aware from last week, I think it's a very, very good greyhound. I put it in for third. And I put in number 5, Revelation. It's going quite good. It wants the fence, racing very well at the moment. I'll include it in everything I play. 1, 6, 2, and 5.
In the third leg, again, a host of chances here.
Shane, there's an absolute deluge of early speed here, and it just might make it for a greyhound that sits, you know, just off them a little bit and railing very strong. And I'm going with number 6, Baines Lane. I just think from the draw, he might slot in behind him and he might be the greyhound to beat. 4 Smiggles has got a chance. It's got good early speed and it'll be up there. I put 3 Aroma Pache in for third, and I put in number 8, Red Nitro. I see it done a satisfactory trial in Hobart in 26.32, and that'd nearly be winning this race. 6, 4, 3, and 8.
And in the last leg, we've got One Man Army going around. It was one of 4 winners for Brendan Purcell at Devonport recently. Can it repeat that winning effort?
Yeah, Shane, look, it was an outstanding win at Devonport. I actually went to a funeral that day, and I did the replays when I got home, and he got through the field quite well, and he was strong to the line. I just went with a greyhound that might zoom to the lead in number 7, Outskirts. I don't think Launceston's his track. I think he goes very good in Hobart. He's a 26.34 winner, and he's drawn wide where he wants to be. I put 7 on top. I've got to put in One Man Armies for 2nd. 2 Go Betty Go and 6 Cosmic Missile. A good win last week in a juvenile. 7, 1, 2 and 6.
Rich Quaddie for Hobart on Monday night in the first leg, 8.627. Second leg, 1.625. Third leg, 6.4, 3 and 8. And in the last leg, 7, 1, 2 and 6. Best bet before or after the quaddie or during the quaddie?
Before the quaddie, Shane. Look, I did say to the listeners last week that I wouldn't have been coming in at the short odds on How's That Grace at Launceston because of the track. I think it was the only thing that got her beat was the track, and she ran centre of the track for most of the journey. She'll win in Hobart on Monday night. Race 3, number 6, How's That Grace?
Devonport again on Tuesday. The first leg looks a tough one on paper.
Yeah, Shane, I'm going with number 3, Spangler Tack. I think he's a full brother to Brad Hill Billy. He's got good habits. He'll be up there in the firing line for a long way. I put 3 on top, 7 Lake Aelia, 2 Nordic Knight and 6 Red Oak. 3, 7, 2 and 6.
In the second leg, Elite Enfield. Super win in Launceston last week.
Yeah, Shane, he just kept coming. He tried to bore across and trying to find the fence. Then he got camped outside the leader and he just kept giving. He's got a great chance. 5 on top, 4 Crystal Innings has got very, very good habits and will be up there for a long way. I've got a little bit of time for number 1, Straight Arrow, and it's come up with the red. And outside in number 8, very well drawn in box 8. The winner will come out of those 4, Shane. 5, 4, 1 and 8.
Your old mate took out the most consistent greyhound of the year on Saturday night. That was Senor Slammer. You've already picked him once for the week. Can he double up again on Tuesday?
Well, he can't be scratched, Shane, because he's in the invitation class. So I'm tipping a big week for Senor Slammer. I think he'll win on Friday, and I think he'll win on Tuesday. 4 Truly Loyal is absolutely low flying at the moment. Has any luck, it'll be right there at the finish. Daniel's Bay's coming off a freshen up number 2, and Cosmic Fire's got a chance. 8, 4, 2 and 1.
And in almost what looks like a replay of the Friday meeting, Mini Mogul goes around again from the red box.
Yeah, Shane, if she wins on Friday, she'll be scratched on Tuesday. But look, we can only do the form before the meeting, and look, you've got to put her on top. Touch of Venus, number 5, is resuming from a little bit of a break. It's got to be second pick. I've got a bit of time for Simply Spoiled on Devonport. I think he goes good at Devonport. It's got a chance and he'd be good odds. And 6, Buckle Up Barney. 1, 5, 2 and 6.
That makes the quaddie for Devonport on Tuesday. In the first leg, 3, 7, 2, 6. 5, 4, 1, 8 in the second. 8, 4, 2, 1 in the third. And bringing it home on 1, 5, 2 and 6. And the best bet?
Shana, look, I'm going with a maiden performer in Diamond Jack. I think he'll run pretty well in Hobart on Thursday night. If he happens to win in Hobart on Thursday night, he'd be scratched on Tuesday. But if he doesn't win, I think that he's come up with an ideal race. Race 9, number 1, Diamond Jack.
Diamond Jack, the best bet for Devonport on Tuesday. So the 4 winners for the week are Pagan Midnight, Immortal Dream, How's That Grace and Diamond Jack. We might have to have a little $10 all up there, Rick, and get ready for the Christmas party.
Now, that'll be great, Shane.
All right, thanks for your efforts today.
Thanks, mate.
Taz Racing contributes to the production costs of Taz Racing Talk.
This podcast was brought to you by rsn.net.au.